We're almost at the end of the first quarter, the first 3 months of 2021. Months that HSE boss Paul Reid said at their briefing yesterday, nobody wants to remember. Will the next 3 months see the promised ramping up of vaccinations? Will we begin to turn the tide against COVID-19? Paul Reid has been telling me why he believes the next 3 months will be different and why the past three are months to put behind us.
My point was really, I guess, from health service and indeed the public's perspective, probably the worst quarter of this pandemic that we've all experienced, obviously through mortality, but significant pressures on the health service, which our staff stood up to fantastically. So that was my main point in terms of that. I do think heading into next quarter, we can look in it in a much better light, although notwithstanding, we're still in a difficult situation with the virus. And I say that because we started our vaccination campaign in the first quarter. I think what we've put in place are the foundations of any immunisation campaign, which are firstly to protect people against sickness, illness, hospitalisations, ICU, etc. By doing that, firstly focus on the most vulnerable in our communities, which is the approach that we have taken. And then thirdly, build a wider herd immunity, which is our approach now as we head into the next quarter and all the way up to June. So I think we're going in a much stronger way than we did certainly in the start of January. We're still in a volatile situation, obviously, with the virus, but I think we can look ahead with much better foundations built now in the pathway ahead for us.
What people want to know is, do you have the vaccinators, do you have the infrastructure, and do you have the supplies in place to begin delivering 250,000 doses a week during April, which is the million a month target, which would get us to 3 million by the end of June?
Yes, and just to reassure your listeners, I mean, if I just take where we will be by the end of this weekend and how we build on that, by the end of this weekend, we'll be close to 750,000 total vaccinations completed. About 550,000 of those will be dose ones. So, you know, well over 14% of the population, and about 250 vaccinations completed over the over 70. So that's an important phase going in because, as I mentioned, it's the most vulnerable done first. As we build up now into the next quarter, our approach is to, for in April, it's primarily to continue to focus through the medically vulnerable, which will be vaccinated primarily through hospitals and some through GPs. We'll continue the programme to vaccinate all of the over 70s through April and into early May. And we'll also be in parallel progressing through some of the age groups in the 65 to 69 years of age. So what people will see as we head into the next quarter is forecasted increased supplies of about 1 million a month, vaccinations continuing through GPs and clinics, but along with that, our vaccination centres scaling up based on supplies around the country. So they will be seeing more deliveries through our vaccination centres, through our GPs, and they will be seeing it reaching wider out into the community as we move through the various groups and cohorts that's prioritised.
And I know nobody wants to be too specific here because it all depends on supply lines and all the rest. But if you're not hitting 250,000 doses a week by the end of April, that means you're unlikely to meet your targets. Should we start be worrying then?
Yeah, I think the reality of it is, if you look at the supplies that we have coming to us, the way we are mobilising to deliver against those, our combination of the centres that I just outlined to you then, and people will see the scale up as we move throughout April. And that will be largely through us scaling up our resourcing. We've almost 11,000 people now, fully skilled and trained vaccinators. But the way we'll be mobilising our centres to deliver to those volumes are, we will be utilising a combination of our own skilled staff, experienced vaccinators, significantly recruiting from a campaign which we've been running. There's about 4,000 applications in it nationally and locally. Yeah, because it'll be a combination of the following. Firstly, our own skilled people will be moving from some of the hospitals, community centres, in vaccination centres. Along with that, some of the recruited people, permanent basis. Along with that, some of the part-time basis. But equally apart from that, let's remember the reach we have out into our GPs in the community, but also GPs will be working in our vaccination centres at various stages. You know, for example, this weekend in the Helix Stadium, in the Helix in DCU, they will be vaccinating. GPs will be vaccinating over 6,000 people of the over 70s. You know, so that's the model as we move forward, reaching further out into communities through GPs, ramped up resourcing in vaccination centres, and then at some stage, pharmacies will retail pharmacies will be part of the process as well.
The AstraZeneca, so we're getting another 160,000 doses from the stockpile that had been located in Italy. How critical is AstraZeneca's supply to delivery of those numbers, the 80% by the end of June vaccinated?
Yeah, they're a significant supplier for us. I mean, we've three and now moving into four suppliers at some stage once Johnson & Johnson come on board in April and throughout quarter two. And there is a likelihood that other suppliers will come on board as we move through quarter two and quarter three, which I think will give us better resilience. We all know we've had real challenges with AstraZeneca throughout the first quarter in terms of predictability and reliability of their deliveries. We do expect that to be becoming more consistent and predictable as we move into quarter two. So they are a significant portion of our supplies as we move through the quarter. But right. I think what we're beginning to see is greater resilience also coming along the supply lines. And in fairness, the other suppliers, Pfizer, Moderna, they have been quite strong, one exception, early stages, but quite strong throughout. And that's good for us going into quarter two.
From the 31st of March, so for the second quarter, we will start contact tracing backwards 7 days. Up to now, it's only been the 2 days to try and establish who the person infected might have spread the disease to. Do you have enough contact tracers to do the 7 day backwards tracing, trying to find the source, if we're at around 600 cases a day?
Yeah, well, just to put two things in context. First of all, we do, and it's important for your listeners to understand this, we do retrospective tracing. Like 80% of our cases at any given time, we can identify it back to a source. And our public health teams do this quite strongly. And they go back to all cases that they are working through, complex cases, identify back to a workplace, identify back to certain levels in the households or various workplace or education facilities, for example. There are about 20% of cases where we cannot at this stage identify what we call them as community transmission levels. And that happens all across European countries. What we are doing now is, and we do this, and Mike Ryan, WHO, are very clear on this, you do this as your transmission levels are coming down rather than increasing now. Although we are increasing at the moment, we're planning to do this from the start of April. In essence, as you just mentioned, going back to those ones that we haven't identified, mm-hmm. trying to get further detail on the source of it. We have recruited extra contact tracers. We're in total up to about 900 contact tracers now at this stage. So it's not just purely about more people being put at it. It is our second line of defence. Our first line of defence is always the public. But we are going to be asking more questions, more detailed information to try narrow down those 20%.
Because there have been false dawns on this before. You spoke to us about it back in December. And then, of course, the numbers went higher and the towel had to be thrown in at that stage. So can people be confident if it is actually starting now? Because there have been a lot of calls for this, that it will actually, you'd be in a position to continue and go on delivering this information. Mm-hmm.
But that is the point, I think, that we all need to be clear. We are starting it, we will commence it. If the disease gets to a level, and everybody's very clear on this, the WHO, Mike Ryan is very clear on this, if the disease gets to a level where it's out of control in a community level, it has to be, your first line has to be your public health measures, and then equally you must go at speed to contact as many contacts as you possibly can. So you have to focus on speed. And that's exactly what happened after December as we head into January. The volume of cases, it would be impossible to put any amount of resource once it gets to a level of transmission in the community. But we do see it as a key element of our tool. It's an extra tool in our armoury now as we move into the next phase. But ultimately, it will be always a case if they get to a level beyond traceability in the community. There's no point in just putting more resources out. You really need your community measures to kick in, which we've done really well. The public have done fantastically well.
The up to 50% increase in cases in children, of course, the school holidays starting today. What's going on there and what more can the HSE do to support schools returning after Easter if those rates of infection continue in children?
Yeah, well, what we have seen, and again, we've really good data and knowledge of this, both from September to December in the school term, and now since schools have scaled back up into operation. The levels of transmission, and we've done very significant testing, both in primary and post-primary schools, and the level of positivity of all the tests we're doing, on average, is about 2.7%. It's actually about 1.6% in post-primary. So there's very good data that we have that the transmission levels, as if we identify a positive case within a school, it's not transmitting highly within a school. What is clearly happening is there's a lot of activity outside of the school and within communities. Play dates is very clearly one of the aspects of it that's coming through in terms of our visits between households. Very clear from our public health doctors, the information they have, that that's a very significant issue. So it's really just, and again, I know your commentary just before this was talking about earlier on, about the issue of just public always understanding we're dealing with a different variant, dealing with a different behaviour of the virus than we would have been in the early stages of last year. And the transmissibility of it is quite strong, and people might be doing something that they feel is quite innocent, but it transmits really quickly. It grabs the opportunity to transmit.
Two other issues not related to COVID. First, the Primetime Investigates programme and the passing of information to the Department of Health. Is it right, whether it's legal, and the HSE in passing the information on said you've got an opinion that what you did was lawful, maybe lawful, is it right that patients and families' confidential information is shared without their knowledge?
I did watch the Primetime Investigates, obviously, and, you know, certainly from my perspective on the HSE, the Department of Health have obviously issued a statement in relation to it. HSE perspective, look, public, families, everybody must always trust their health system. And confidentiality is obviously cornerstone of any health delivery. So from our perspective, you know, we immediately heard information with this. We did seek some further information from the reporter. If we get any further information, I most certainly will be making sure we follow through to see it. But
that video, you know, of a distressed child would be accessible?
But the reality, from our perspective, like, there's, you know, if nothing can be right about sharing information inappropriately. Now, and, you know, if any information is that it has been shared, I know there was one reference that some of the information came from a direct contact to a consultant or a doctor. But certainly from a HSE's perspective, we would not be sharing information inappropriately. And if there's any information we have been shared inappropriately, you know, I certainly would like to get to the bottom of it. But from our understanding is anything would have been shared purely on a legal basis, but not breaking patient confidentiality. That can, you know, that can't happen.
And finally, the story today about a private school that staff got access to excess vaccines. And after the controversy over what happened in the Coombe Hospital in Dublin, weren't there supposed to be protocols to stop this?
And there are, Anya. I mean, there are very clear guidelines. Communicated out in early January, recommunicated out on a regular basis. From my perspective, from the HSE perspective, there can be no ambiguity around how you arrange vaccination clinics, how backup lists should be organised in advance. We really do expect all services to comply with this. We understand totally, as vials are opened and there's a period of time of a few hours where the seal is broken, that must be utilised. But it should be planned, you know, in terms of we come to the final stages of the day to knowing how many vials to open now at this stage or not open. And knowing that you have a backup list, which would be in line with our sequencing protocols. So, you know, there's certainly very clear guidance on it. And it's extremely annoying. It's extremely frustrating for the public. And it's extremely annoying and frustrating for myself and us in the HSE when incidents like this happen. You know, and it's hard for us to reach out and be over all of the vaccination processes that are going on. But there's very clear guidelines gone out. And I cannot condone when something like this happens.
And that was HSE Chief Executive Paul Reid, who spoke to me earlier. It's 28 minutes past 8.